Good morning. I want to introduce myself. We've got new women that have come this semester for the first time. And so I'm Tricia Schmidt. And I have a tickle in my throat, so I'm going to leave that down there in case I need it. I'm Tricia Schmidt. I've been married 19 years, I think. I'm going to celebrate 20 in August, I think. And I have four kids. My kiddos are between the ages of 11, and I have four kids between the ages of 11 and 16. So we're in the middle school, high school training years, and it's busy, but good. Love it. So welcome, and good to see new faces here for this semester. I'm excited. We did this book 4 or 5 years ago. But it's amazing how every time you pick something up, you're like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. There's so much I still need to learn. And so I'm excited that we're digging back in, and new seasons offer new challenges. And so I'm enjoying reminding myself that God needs to be the architect of our home and not me and not my husband. But anyway, so parenting, that's where it's at this semester. Let me pray for this really fast, just over this talk and over my heart and my mind before I jump in, okay? Lord, I do want to thank you that you are a faithful God. I want to thank you that your word is true and it is right and it is full of promise and hope. And Lord, that we can lean into that and that we can rest in that and we can depend on it. I pray, Father, that you would begin to work in our hearts, that you would begin to show us where we need to start going, where we need to make some changes, where we need to grow. And Father, that we would depend on you to do that, Lord, that we would rely on your Holy Spirit. Father, I want to give you this morning and this time, this is yours, to do with as you please. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and through these words, and Lord, that we could walk away with something to grow in and to change, not because of us, but because of you working in us. And I thank you so much for your love and your power and all that you are and that you share with us. And it's in Jesus Christ that I pray all this. Amen. All right, guys. Well, we're in chapter 1, pointing to him this morning. And as a believer of Jesus Christ, Catherine wrote this book on the truth that parenting is all about God. In fact, every aspect of our lives are designed to be centered around him. But have you all noticed that there's just a lot of competition for our hearts and for our minds? It's not necessarily easy and natural for everything to point in the direction of God. So because of that, you and I have got to make a conscious decision that we want to design our homes and our lives around the Creator's blueprints instead of our own. And to do so, it means that we need to invest. You and I, on our own, we need to invest our time, our hearts, our energy into building a personal relationship with the Lord. We need to invest in this relationship. When we've done that, and then we're going to go into and we're going to start translating that into our parenting, we'll pray, we'll plan, we'll try something, we'll mess it up, and we'll pray, and we'll plan, and we'll swing a hammer, and we will totally miss the nail, and we'll try again. And this cycle, it's going to just keep repeating. Right? And the reality of that cycle teaches us that things are not built without obstacles in our lives. And Jesus plainly spoke to his followers in John 16:33. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. but take heart because I have overcome the world. So the world is going to challenge you and your husband when you decide to devote your family to the Lord. But we can take heart because God's gone before us and he's made it possible for us to do this. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at these important conversational topics to engage our family. And I think that this week's lesson is incredibly important. It's foundational for us to be able to apply what's coming. Not dealing with our obstacles to communication is going to make it challenging at best, if not impossible, for us to engage the rest of this book, okay? Now, some of you have little ones that are just not able to start talking about their technology use while they're still nursing. I mean, I get it. You're not going to be able to do that with them just yet, okay? But I want to, even if your kids are not ready to engage in these conversations, please don't check out mentally. Consider this an opportunity to have these conversations with your husband, to begin laying groundwork and storing up ideas that you guys can use together for when their time is right. As we think of designing our homes, unlike the physical houses that you can go out and build and you can stop during the process, our children's lives, meaning their hearts, their minds, their outlooks, attitudes, beliefs, they are constantly being formed. And that process cannot be stopped. Because so your unintentional time crafts your home just as much as your intentional does. And because of that, I really want to encourage you to dig in here, to put time and to put thought and to put prayer, to seek the Lord, to understand God's design for you to intentionally create your space. Now, I'm going to guess that some of you may respond to a little bit of that information like me, and you can get overwhelmed. The idea that it doesn't stop and, oh my goodness, what if I really mess this up? It can feel overwhelming. And without perspective, there's a weight about it. And I've got to be careful not to let that take me down. So if any of you begin to feel that, I want to share with you three things that I use to think on that kind of helps me. First one is, in our weakness, God is strong. He is able to multiply or bring to life my attempts, as feeble as they may be. So I should engage in the work, okay? Second is, the word of God never returns void. It doesn't matter how my kids react to it. Therefore, it's not wasteful to speak God's truth. It will not return void. And the third thing for me is, I know that I will regret it if I haven't done what I could in the time God gave me to prepare my children for living on their own, both physically and spiritually. If you remember Carrie's chart, high heart, low action produces regret. I remind myself of that whenever I start to feel this weight. And it helps me when I'm tempted just to stop trying. In my weakness, God is strong. The word of God never returns void. And I'll regret it if I don't use my time well, if I'm not a good steward of my time. But where do we start with this, guys? Whether you've been spiritually directing conversations with your family for some time now, or this is new to you, it's helpful to know what you're aiming for and why. So we're going to be looking at great topics to give you a direction, a place to aim if you don't already have something in mind. But you still need to know your why. So did y'all get a chance to read through Deuteronomy 6? Or at least just the list that Catherine drew out in the book for us? What effects about God's truth to our families, about talking about God's truth to our families, what stood out to you? What made you go, yes, that's why I'm doing it. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I pray for my kids. I want their salvation. I want them to know the Lord. I want them to have the peace of God in their life. What is your why? That is foundational to understand and run back to when you face obstacles and it starts to get hard. My husband, Bob, calls these handholds. He always says, what reasons are you going to hold on to when you, to keep you grounded and to keep you focused? Please don't skip this. If you're in a season where it may not feel difficult to share, you're like, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll just share. Or you have the little ones that can't receive it yet. Because there could be a time a coming, y'all, when you're facing some new issues that tempt you to just not go there. Because it may be uncomfortable when you're talking to teenagers about topics that just make you go all red and blushed and all of that. Or it just feels like too much work. Know your why. It could be what empowers you and keeps you going. Well, obstacles in this are inevitable process, but when we know that, it helps us want to overcome it. Okay? Beyond the frustration of an obstacle, what purpose could they serve? Could there be an actual greater lesson contained in them within the experience of overcoming an obstacle? I want to challenge you that instead of beating yourselves up because you run into something that you see in your heart or in your mind, look at this as an opportunity. Overcoming an obstacle to sharing God's truth actually is a great test of our faith. And let me tell you why I think that. James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Facing obstacles, we can learn and we can grow and we can become stronger, wiser, steadfast women because of what we're learning in that process. That's a good thing. So don't let an obstacle get you down. But what do we do when we come up to it? How do we approach it? First of all, you got to identify it. You really got to pay attention to it. What feelings, what thoughts, what attitudes, what fears, maybe what sin it's holding you back? What's keeping you from doing this? Whatever it is, for us in this book, it's going to be having these important conversations. Identify it. Really name it. Okay? And then second, seek the wisdom of God. Once you've named it, you ask the Lord. I'm going to give you a promise that he gives us. Please listen to this. My daughter, if you receive my words and you treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and you search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He promises if we get in here and if we ask him and if we look for it, He will give it. He does not withhold that from us. So you take your obstacle, you take whatever that is, and you put it before the Lord, and you seek him in it. And you let him show you through his words, through his wisdom, how you're going to process that and how you're going to deal with it. And then you're going to come up with an action step. How am I overcoming this? Now, we're all going to have different obstacles, so there's not a blanket action that I could give today and we could all go do it, right? But I will share some tools that might help you evaluate your obstacle and then see if you can come up with a good action step after you sought the Lord. So obstacles typically come in three types. They're either external, which are outside of your control. Something like that is a natural disaster, the economy's crashing. Maybe it's a physical limitation. So in relationship to this, if you've got a child with a speech or a hearing impairment, you have an external physical limitation that needs to be overcome for you to be able to communicate with them. So other obstacles can be internal. These are issues that you do have direct control over. Your time availability, a skill that's needed that you could learn, a mindset. The others are habitual. They're habits. They're the way that we kind of get in our own way. It's things that we do repeatedly, habitually, that could be, in this case, unhealthy. And these are removed usually by behavioral changes. Okay? So when you identify your obstacle, and you realize, is this an internal obstacle? Is this a habit? Is this an obstacle based on a habit? Is this external? Step back from it and try to get some perspective. Look at it from very different vantage points so that you can see, is there more than one way that I might be able to handle this? Just kind of get that bigger picture. Is this obstacle something that's going to require a change of behavior or a change of belief? And then can you address it on your own, or do you need to ask for help for something? In today's information age, being uninformed or going without help is a choice. There are resources readily available through technology to offer help on any and every subject. And so, as long as you get some internet access, if you don't have it at home, it's free at the public libraries. You can always find a resource to help you. So if you don't know the answer, go look for it. It's available. Something is out there. If you don't know action steps, you kind of figure out, okay, this is the place I'm going to need to go because you've already spent time with the Lord. Right? So once you've identified your obstacle, you've sought the Lord and you've decided on your action, guess what you're going to do? You're going to take it. You're going to take action. You're going to go implement it. Otherwise, it's going to do you no good and you're not going to see any change. I want you to imagine that you have a beautiful pond in the backyard of your designer home. And on it, there's a pier where you have a rowboat tied up. And this one gorgeous day, you wake up and you are inspired to row across that pond to the other shore where there is wonderful garden that's full of everything that you could imagine to add beauty, aromas, food, the best foods for your home, all of these things are awaiting you. Okay, so you go get in your rowboat and you push off from the pier and you begin rowing with your left arm. Well, it's not going to be long before your boat is going in a circle. So you change your plan and you start rowing with your right arm. Well, your boat is going to change direction. It might move some, but eventually it's going to repeat and it's going to go in a circle in a different direction. And again, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to get across to the other shore, to the shore. Now imagine again that one oar represents our heart for God, and the other represents our work or our actions. If we want to fill our home with the beauty and the hope and the nourishment that God has for us, it takes us using both our hearts and our actions to propel us toward the good that He has got waiting for us. It's high heart and high action. That's our goal. We need to implement both. We need to implement seeking the Lord, overcoming those obstacles by putting into action what He's teaching us. Now, I have a lot of obstacles, but one of them I'm going to share with you. I've kind of struggled sharing this. Okay, well, I have a fear that there's a line I can cross, making spiritual examples out of too much in my home. I'm afraid that if I take every opportunity to turn a conversation into a spiritual example, that it's going to cause my kids to not be open to having spiritual conversations. In other words, I worry they're going to shut down and they're not going to be willing to share with me what's growing on if they feel like I'm always making all these spiritual conversations, right? And this fear is not because I have like a ton of spiritual knowledge and I'm just always wanting to talk about it. It's because I was raised in a home where there were no spiritual conversations when I was growing up. And so I feel this urgency and this need. I want to give my kids what I didn't have. And that's, but this is compared to my husband, who grew up in a home where his parents did take every opportunity to make a spiritual example out of something. And please hear me, there is value in this. But we also saw a negative side in that there was a lot of pushback from his sibling, and it has had negative effects on her personal relationship with her parents her entire life, because it was almost like there was oversharing. So I have this fear. I don't have a grid for a balance. I want to overshare because I really want them to have what I didn't. And Bob is like, okay, but you could. There needs to be some perspective in here. And so he and I worked together. I was like, I can't figure this out. So he's my help. We started thinking this through, and he helped me. We came up with a list of questions that I ask myself whenever opportunities arise, or if I want to make an opportunity, basically. So my first one is, am I being led by God to have the conversation? For me to know that, I've got to be in my personal relationship with the Lord daily, right? So I ask myself, is God leading me to this? The second one is, would not having this conversation leave my kids unclear on truth? So is there a situation, and I'll come back to that. And number three, do they have a personal need beyond my desire to hear truth? So is there something in them that I'm seeing personally that this one child needs this truth right now? The other night, our oldest kids came in from having been in an event, and they brought up something they had heard that was confusing to them. And they were throwing some stuff out, and Bob and I looked at each other, and we were like, we're talking about this. If we had not had this conversation with them, they would have been unclear on whether or not this thing was sin or not. There were some things being discussed, and they were being told it was sinful to do, and they could not understand why that was a sin. And so we were like, It doesn't matter that it's late. It doesn't matter that we have these other things we're going to do. We're going to sit here and talk this through because we don't want them walking away, not knowing if they do that, whether or not they're going to be in sin. So we had the conversation, okay? Those are non-negotiables. If the answer to any of that is yes, I have the conversation. No questions asked, right? But when it comes to making spiritual examples out of everyday things, and this is something really I used to do more when they were little, and what I mean is like when you see a rainbow in the sky and you talk about that promise of God or what that means, or if they're in the yard with me and we're talking about how crazy the weeds are and they grow and we make a comparison to sin. When it comes to making spiritual examples like that, I ask myself, are they at a place to hear me? How often am I having other spiritual conversations with them? Because if I'm having them regularly over the issues that they're dealing with, then I may not need to keep trying to draw more and more spiritual examples to point them to. But lastly, if I'm sitting there and I'm unsure, if I have to choose, I'm going to err on the side of too much rather than not enough and go ahead and have a conversation. But that, for me, was very helpful because I felt like that obstacle popped up all the time for me. And I kind of had a little bit of a hard time, my kids now, middle school to high school, they're being bombarded. We're having lots of spiritual conversations about life and about things. So I'm not needing to pull out a bunch of other examples. But there was a point where I was like, are we having enough? Are we not? Are we this? Are we that? And there was a fear in that. But anyway, that is just an example for you of one obstacle I face in having spiritual conversations with my kids, how we process through that, and some action steps that I have available, that I have stored in my mind and my heart, that I use when it pops up. And so I just want to encourage you all. The reality is we all build something. And you have the opportunity now to engage in this process intentionally. You can face your obstacles, and you can hold on to his promises, and you can choose to build your home with him being the architect and him being the designer, which is the best, absolutely the best that you could do for your kids, for your husband, for your life. Okay, I want to, in closing, pray over you just a short compilation of some psalms that speak into this, okay? So just close your eyes with me for a minute and listen to God's truth. Father, we want to come before you and give you all of this. And we know that unless you build the house, Lord, those who build it labor in vain. So we lift our eyes to the hills because that is where our help comes from. Our help comes from you, Lord. You who made the heavens and the earth. You, Lord, are near to all who call on you, to all who call on you in truth. For with the Lord, you are their steadfast love, and with you is plentiful redemption. You, Lord, are faithful in all your words, and you're kind in all of your works. You hem us in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon us. Teach us to do your will, for you are our God. Let your good spirit lead us on level ground. We love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.